to just prepare our hearts this morning. I know sometimes we can get into the hustle and bustle of the day and forget what the day's all about. Lord, this is the day that you have made. So we have faith, Lord, and we just look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we just ask that you would allow us, Lord, to connect with you today, unlike we've ever connected before. Lord, that there would be freedom in our lives, Lord, to be who you've called us to be, to live how you've called us to live. Lord, I pray that your truth, Lord, would be released in our lives so that we could experience it, Lord, and experience the freedom that comes along with your truth. Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for coming. Thank you, Lord, for leaving your first place, Lord, of in the heavenlies, Lord, above all things that were created. Lord, that you were the maker of all things, and you chose to come among mankind and to lay your life down for us. We thank you for that, Lord. We're grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He wraps himself. Yesterday at the women's event, Gaylene was talking about Mary, of course, and, you know, and about a prophet not being welcomed in his homeland. But I finally, thanks to circumstances this last week, have been able to listen to worship in my car. Woohoo! And hear it. And there was a song that was playing, and there was a line in the song that has stuck with me all week. And the line was, "And heal my soul." And so it's like, okay, so what is the difference between whole and spirit? And it says the soul is your psychological part composed of your mind, will. It's the part of your inner being created by God for the purpose of reflecting and expressing Him. Listen to what Mary said when she became pregnant with Jesus. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exalted in God my Savior." So many times we ask for healing of our mind, healing of our emotions, healing of our body. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we accept Him, but we don't ask Him to heal our soul. And how many times in our lives, how many of us have had soul-searing pain and soul-ripping circumstances happen? And we talk about everything else that goes around it, but we don't talk about letting God heal our soul. In healing our soul, let me tell you, there's joy in that, because then your soul can magnify God. You know, our spirit, you know, we listen to our spirit, and our spirit talks to us, and our spirit exalts God, but it is our soul that reflects God, and it can't reflect God if we don't let God heal it. So that's why that has been on my heart this week, about letting God heal our souls. If you are having a hard time praising God at any time, especially when you come into worship, maybe your soul needs a little healing. And just ask Him, "Lord, heal my soul." Whatever it is, even if you're not sure of what it is that's ripped it or torn it, ask Him, "Heal my soul."
Amen.
ransom never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Break every chain. Break every chain, Lord. Break every chain of lies in our lives. Break every chain of schemes of the enemy, trappings and plans that he's made against us. Break every chain, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love that what you shared through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to remember that forever. That, and you probably don't even know what you said.
It just struck me when I heard the song. It was just like, wow. I know I'm supposed to hear that for something.
Well, there's a key phrase that you said, and you said, "Our spirit exalts the Lord, but our soul reflects Him." And that was like, as a golden nugget. I'm going to process that one. I'm going to say, "Lord, okay."
And for those who don't like the golden nugget, you'll remember it now with that.
Yeah.
We need to announce about the 20th.
And I did yesterday. Go ahead. Yes, go for it.
So on the 20th, which is a Wednesday night, we are going to be having Pastor's Open House at our house, which is next door. We'll be going from 6:30 to 8:30. I hope that's okay with you because that's what I announced yesterday.
Oh, that's good for me.
Okay, good.
You're our calendar planner anyway. So.
So it's a drop-in, but you can come at the beginning and stay till the end, or you can drop in any time. We hope that you'll come and fellowship with each other and with us and just learn our hearts outside of the walls of the church. And so everybody's invited, families, just whoever. So
there'll
mark
be
that
food,
on
right?
your, yeah, there'll be food and some hot cider or hot chocolate or something like that. And then mark that on your calendar so you guys plan on making it. And then on the 24th, which is a Sunday, we are having church on Sunday morning. And it's going to be a special time of a few solos and instrumentals and just readings and just really worshiping the Lord in a special time together.
It'll be an early Christmas Eve service.
Early Christmas Eve service? What does that mean?
Well, because if you think about it, Christmas Eve is that day, so
right.
So we'll be doing like.
But it'll be still the same time at 10:30, right?
Right, but
oh,
it's gonna. It's gonna be more celebrating Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be good.
And then
and
on,
if you would like to sing something, right?
Yes, if you'd like to do something. As he looks at Junior, if you'd like to do something, please just see me.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't see me and I want you to do something, I'll come to you. So, and then one other thing we were talking about, honey, and I forgot to mention this to you. I'm really sorry.
Oh.
But we...
Is it that bad?
No. On New Year's Eve, we were talking about having a service and having a candle lighting service in the evening time because that's on Sunday too.
Oh, on New Year's Eve?
Uh-huh. And we were wondering about having the Lord's Supper like we did that one time with the tables and the rounds and being downstairs and having
communion
together. Oh, we
could do that.
Together.
That would be awesome.
So,
who was talking about that? Because that's a great idea.
Vicky brought that up.
Okay.
And so we just have to figure out the time for the New Year's Eve. So just keep that kind of in your little bucket until we announce more about it because I'm not even sure about all of the logistics about it, but you will know when we know.
The key one, next one to think of is the 20th.
The 20th.
Most people know the 24th.
The 20th and then the 24th.
Sunday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, praise the Lord. Audrey, good to see you. Welcome. Praise the Lord. I do want to say, previous to getting into the end and closing, after service, Joe and Christine will be available to pray for anyone who has sickness in their body or sickness in their soul or heart. So I encourage you to take that opportunity because they have a desire and more than a desire, they have a gifting to release the healing power of God. And so that is that's like major, right?
Wonderful.
And so, Connie, so that would be,
after service. So if you want to come on up, we'd love to have you take that opportunity. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to talk about He must increase, but I must decrease. And this is the end of chapter 3 of John. And not that I haven't enjoyed all of, every time I get to a chapter, saying, I've been wanting to get to this chapter. I think because it takes so long to get to the next chapter. But I'm really looking forward to getting into chapter 4 with the woman at the well and some of those amazing truths that Jesus communicates to her. But today we're gonna finish this off with John chapter 3, verses 22 through 36, focusing on this verse 30. But we're going to go ahead and read through it. I'm going to have you go ahead and read, hon.
So John 3, starting in 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea. Is it Judea or is
Judea.
It? Judea.
That works.
And there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon, near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Sounds like they were a little distressed about that. John answered, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him or on him.
That's quite a bit. It's quite a few verses. So basically what's taking place is that, as she said, John's disciples have been questioned by the Pharisees about purification, the process of purification. And I think that's being used because baptism was like a form of purification. When they went in, they would repent for their past, things they had done and commit to God fresh and anew. And so The individual who or individuals who come to John, saying, John, this individual that you testified about, he's getting more disciples from you. Another gospel says like he's getting more disciples than you. And John is trying to communicate to them that's okay, that it's fine, that they are going to diminish, and that Jesus and his ministry is going to increase. And so as I was pondering that, of course, this is talking specifically, this line, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is talking specifically about Jesus' ministry and John's ministry. But there's a principle in this that is for our lives. The fact of us decreasing or becoming less and Christ becoming greater. And so that is what I want to talk about today. That there is a necessity as believers, I believe, to decrease. And unless we decrease, then I believe we only remain at a certain level in God. I don't think we get to grow anymore in God unless we decrease in ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that we become, an obscure, you know, non, you know, valid individual, because Christ is totally, you know, increased in us. On the contrary, I believe his strength fills us, his glory fills us, and we're able to operate even in his love in a greater measure when we decrease. Right? Amen. You're just looking there, pondering. Okay. Well, let's look at a first few scriptures here, and we'll kind of just talk it through. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says here, each time he has said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. This was Paul communicating to the Corinthians about something that he was dealing with. Some call it the thorn in his flesh, but it was something that he was having to struggle with, whether it was some people say it wasn't an illness, it was just, you know, it was, you know, something that was affecting his ministry. Who knows? But it was enough that he had asked the Lord three times to remove it, and the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, this is a paradox, because we don't think of being weak being strong. I mean, most people think, you know, that when they're sick and weak, and, you know, you're throwing up all week or whatever, and you're dehydrated and all that stuff, physically, you're not strong. You don't feel strong, right? Physically. But that's not the way it works spiritually. When we're weak, when we have emptied ourselves of our own abilities and our own strength and our own wisdom and our own power and knowledge, all these things that we can stand on, then his strength takes its place. I love that too. When we are weak, he is strong. When I am weak, you make me strong, Lord. And so keep that in mind when you're facing difficult times. Keep that in mind when it looks like you're going down with the ship. Because that weakness could be the very thing that God uses to perfect or complete his strength in you.
The word that keeps sticking in my mind is more. And how can you reconcile more to decreasing? But I think that the more that I'm feeling is that the more of Christ I have to decrease. And sometimes when we just know there's more than what we have, we have to decrease in order for there to be room for more of him in there. And the more of him, the less of me. And what I mean by that is that I noticed over the course of the last couple of years how I increased and the Lord decreased because I was mad and hurt and in pain. But now that the Lord has chided me and chastised me and, you know, I've realized that this is all part of his plan, I've begun to decrease, and as I'm decreasing, he's increasing in me. I'm not proud of the fact that I let that time happen, but I needed that time for growth, I believe. I needed that time for God to be able to do a perfect work in my heart at that point. I'm sure it will not be the last time that that happens, but I do know that at this point, I can say, thank you, Lord, that I went through all that pain. And I could never say that before. And the reason I can say thank you is because I do want more of him. I do need desperately more of the Lord. I need him, and without it, I almost feel like I'm kind of treading, and I don't want to tread water. I want more of him. So that's kind of how I reconciled that in my brain with the increase, so the decrease more.
Yeah, the decreasing is something that we, I think, choose to do. It can come upon you, you know, by circumstances. But I mean, you know, we can all resist God. I mean, as much as you want to. I mean, you know, you can continue to quiet the voice in your head or in your heart. But finally, when we say, "Okay, I give up. I'm gonna, you know, empty myself." I think of this idea of becoming less so that we can have more. I mean, you look at Jesus. I mean, that was his whole life. I mean, he came from the place of glory. I mean, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, but he was the one who allowed creation to be made. I mean, all things were created by him and for him and through him. I mean, everything that was made. So, I mean, we're talking about the one. And yet the one became as weak as you possibly can, because he became a man. And not just a man that yielded his life to the death of sinful man that did not resist, did not fight, but literally laid down his life. And yet, even in that state of utter weakness, he was exalted far above. And so, I mean, I believe he was above before, but it sounds like something happened where he went above, even above, which is hard to believe, because it sounds like it wasn't the same place that he was at. He received another level of exaltation, which is hard to believe. But I believe the exaltation was to be head over us, the church, his body, the people drawn back to him. That was a place that had been lost because Adam and Eve had relinquished the control of their lives to the evil one. Okay, I digress a little bit, sorry. So in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, it says, "The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble." Now, isn't it interesting? He lives in the high and the holy place. Does he live in the high and holy place with high and holy people?
Mm-mm, contrite and humble people.
Contrite and humble people. Now, yesterday we were praying at the church. I don't know. Did everybody get the text working? Everybody got the text? Okay. I know it was last minute, so I understand. But Christine was saying last night how when you were sharing, and I wasn't there for it, with the ladies about Mary, that she said, you know, "Lord, let it be to me according to your word," and that she just fully submitted in contriteness and humility to what he was saying. And it elevated her to a high and holy place, to where she then carried the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I mean, when she birthed the Lord of glory, she allowed that to continue to carry her no matter what was being whispered behind her.
Right.
Because what in Mark 6, it says, women are going to hear this again, but it says Mary's son instead of Joseph and Mary's son. So people are still hitting her with this, oh, you had a baby that wasn't the normal way. And, you know, that she's still kind of a not so good anomaly. Like, you know, she's still, but she has allowed God, she's allowed herself to go to the high and holy place because of her contriteness and her humbleness.
Right.
Not because she's who she is. It's because of what she's done. She's allowed herself to be humble. She's allowed herself to be contrite.
I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Do you notice a pattern here, that it's through humbleness and yielding and surrender that God likes to work? And that's when he says to Paul, "My strength is perfected in weakness." Paul, I know you don't like what's going on, but believe me, this is for your good, because my strength is perfected in this. I mean, nobody likes to talk about suffering. I mean, we would love that we didn't ever have to suffer. Anybody on the same page?
Yeah.
I mean, but it seems that God can use suffering at times for our good, or use weakness in our life for good. And I think it all depends on our heart.
And it does. It may not feel good at the time, just like I said. Now I can say thank you, Lord, for the past 2 years. But during the time, I could not say that when I'm watching my dad die and then watching my mom die and then my auntie and my aunt.
Suffering for you.
I was suffering majorly, majorly. But now I can say, you know, now I can say it. Whereas before, I was just in major pain. And that pain tended to override everything holy, and I allowed it to. That's the point,
right?
Is I allowed it to. And had I think had I been where I am today back then, I think that you know, I would have done it better. But I can't say that because, you know, it's already done. But I want to be better from the pain. I don't want to be worse off. I want him to move me more higher, and I want him to do the things that he needs to do in me to make me who he needs me to be.
So really what you're saying is you want the pain from now on to make you better,
right?
Instead of the pain to make you bitter.
Oh, ooh.
Right?
You
want the pain
good.
To work a work of
Ouch.
Righteousness.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he gives grace generously. James 4:6-7. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud. So pride, which is the opposite of humility, who opposes it? God opposes it.
Yeah.
But gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, a lot of people like to say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, just they like to rattle that off. But that's not what it says.
It does say that.
It does say that, but
that's
not all it says. You're pulling it out of context, as they say. It says, humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves. Then guess what? You have the power to resist the devil. And he has to flee then. Why? Because it's not you just resisting the devil. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, who's resisting the devil. Amen. And 1 Peter 5:5-6. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. I want to stop here for a moment. So this is a key for us as believers, I believe. This is a key that I believe will help make the church look different than the world. Is that we learn to deal with each other in humility, in care, in love. And in a way that we're even sometimes, I guess, for like giving grace for people who are of weaker faith. As it says, I think, in Romans 15.
In other words, give grace when they don't deserve grace.
Yeah.
At times. Yeah.
And to realize that it could be us in that situation, depending upon what circumstances we have gone through, depending upon how we responded in pain. Have we gotten bitter in our pain, or have we gotten better? You know, because we can't, I think, in any way look at ourselves greater than anyone else. Now, that's easy to say, hard to do. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we'll look at the outer appearance and we'll look at somebody that maybe is less financially off as us. Mm-hmm. Or maybe doesn't have drive and initiative because maybe they've gone through some kind of life crisis. Maybe choices of their own. But we have no place where we can actually put ourselves above them. And so in humility, when we deal with each other, we need to realize that except for the grace of God, that may be me.
Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of the story of Corrie Ten Boom.
Mm-hmm.
After going through the Holocaust and after being, you know, in a concentration camp for a very long period of time, she's the only family member, right, that came out alive. And she ministered in churches. And in one church in particular, she's ministering and she notices this man sitting in the very far back. And she realizes it's one of her abusers in that concentration camp. And she's like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, oh, Lord, you know, because fear began to grip her. And she's like praying internally, Lord, help me, help me. I'm going to be, help me. And then as the service closes, he's starting down the main aisle toward her. And she's like, help me, God, you know, like, I can't do this, you know. And he is smiles and wanting to hug her and just wreaths of happiness. Fraulein, isn't it the Lord great? Like, he's come to know the Lord. And she's like, God, you need to help me. She's saying all of this internally, because in my own strength, I can't do this. Help me. And he did. And she was able to, as I reached out to hug him back, forgiveness just flowed out of me. And I was able to receive the love of another brother, a Christian brother, whereas before I would have gone the other way. I would have dodged out some other direction. And that, you guys, that's really powerful when we realize that. I mean, because I've done that. I've seen somebody that's crushed my spirit, and I've turned them and honestly turned around and walked the other way. I've done it because I've been so crushed. But God is saying, you know, this is the opportunity for you to grow, not them necessarily, but you. Let me increase in you and you decrease, and let me show you how it feels to let me be more than you are.
Right. Yeah, there is a work of the Holy Spirit when we yield and surrender to those, in humility, those potential pains that we're going to face. And like she thought, oh boy, this is going to be hard. But as she reached out, grace and love and forgiveness flowed from her, and restoration.
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I mean, someone that actually was torturing you in a concentration camp. Dress yourselves in humility. So what does dress yourselves tell you guys? Tells me that it's something like the full armor of God. We put this on. It's like, this is something that we have to make sure that we're clothing ourselves with humility. That we're not just hoping that humility is going to show up on its own.
It actually goes down to choice.
Choice. We're back to choice again. Mm-hmm. Then it says, as you relate to one another, God opposes the proud. We've heard that before, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves. This would be humble yourselves can be make yourself weak. Make yourself contrite. Make yourself, you know, emptied of your own abilities and strengths. I don't know how any of us put it, any other way to put it than to make it so that you're not relying on your own abilities. Your own financially, 401k, you know. I think of some trust in chariots, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but I'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Some are going to, you know, make it through this next financial crisis by trusting in all that they have stored up in their 401k or in their stock market or whatever. But let's trust in God. Because what if the banks get to a place where they don't care if you have money, or the stores care if you have money? Then we're going to need to know the one that is the full source. Exactly. Under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, this is a key, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. It's not like humble yourselves today and tomorrow he's going to lift you up. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Instant return. But maybe it's going to be years. Maybe it's going to be a time, a season that you're going to go through before you're going to see God exalt you in your life, in your situation. Might be the next day. Might be moments later. Oh, bummer. I'll get it. Oh, it's soft. It might be a moment later. Maybe you're going to surrender and yield, just like it was with Corey. She yielded and surrendered in that moment, and immediately the Lord raised her up to the place where she was dealing with that individual, not in her own strength, but in His strength. But sometimes you just hug somebody, and right at the moment, you don't feel anything. You're just doing what you know Holy Spirit wants you to do, and you're being obedient.
There is blessing in being obedient, though.
I mean,
the Lord just really comforts your heart in that you were obedient. Whether or not you receive back that lifting up at that time or years later, there is, God honors us being humble. He honors that so much.
Exactly. But you may not see exactly the same result as Corey.
Right.
Like, oh my goodness, I just flooded with forgiveness with that person. Maybe it's just going to be a step that you're going to take, and God will start opening up a door.
Right.
And maybe you'll go to lunch with them next time, and all of a sudden you realize that there is a healing that can take place. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, guess what? That's it. It's a short one. So does anyone else have anything they want to share? And remember, you need to come up with the mic about this, humbling yourself before the Lord. Anybody had that happen to them where they needed to humble themselves?
Anybody?
Were you going to say something, Junior? Okay, you're going to... Okay, come on up. No, it's just so that people can hear.
Okay.
Some people can't hear, and
okay, I'm one of those people. I can't hear. I don't know why. But when it came to humbling, yeah, it was the first day I came back. I had to just let it all go, and for me, it like in the back of my mind, talking about it to myself, I'm just like, I've done it before. It'll be fine. I'll be good. Well, it's different. Because I was a kid back then, you know, it was a little bit easier to mentally convince myself. But as an adult, I'm just like, I can't go unless I really want to go. It's not that, not just the fact that I need to be here. I do. But it's the fact that I want to.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many opportunities I have to just, nah, I'm going to stay in bed today. I just can't. A friend of mine at work, I was talking to her about coming back. Her and her husband are pastors at a Spanish church somewhere downtown. And I told her, I don't know what to do. She says, you have to discipline yourself into going. You have to make yourself want that. Every single day you wake up, every day you go, you have to convince yourself. And the first step, she says, you have to, she said that, you have to humble yourself. She goes, you got to take yourself off that pedestal and just walk down a few notches. Just turn it down.
Yeah.
She goes, because that top layer, that's not for you. Right in front of it, yes, you're fine. So humbling myself to have to come back, it was big. And I guess that was the first step to whatever steps and roads lie before me. But what I wanted to mention was, I have the little Bible app on my phone, and it sends me a verse of the day. And it was crazy because you were close to what actually popped up. The verse, I just want to read it real quick. It's Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up in flames. The flames will not consume you. And it's crazy because it's kind of similar to what it is there and relating to my whole situation of coming back. So I don't know. I just wanted to talk.
No, that's good.
That.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Great scripture.
Amen.
Woo. Anybody else?
Moses looks like he has something. Do you have something, Moses? You look like you got something. Or see, that's a problem. I've known you so long, I can read you. It's like, okay, it's like buzzing around.
Thank you. You know, sometimes we get a topic on weakness, you know, weakness. You know, when it was said to me a long time ago when I was growing up, you know, your meekness is not weakness.
It was,
So it also teaches us to be meek, is not weak. And this week we were doing evaluations through the stores, and we're talking to the managers and stuff, sharing goals and everything, and letting them know we have, you know, we're there for support. We're there for support. And one thing caught my attention when we were talking to one of the managers, and we were letting them know that, hey, you know, you're not in this by yourself. You know, we're here to help. And at the end of it, he goes, you know what? He goes, I always thought that was weakness. That's why I never asked for help. He goes, because of the last job that I had, he goes, if I asked for help or anything, well, you're the manager, do it, deal with it. You know, and we're like, no, that's not how we operate. That's not who
right.
we are. You're not weak. You know, I still ask a ton of questions. You know, I'm still, you know, learning and moving. And, you know, asking for help from your brothers and sisters in the Lord is not weakness. You know, and that's where we decrease, you know, our flesh. And we walk in the Spirit. And it's a daily walk. You know, the more your flesh decreases, it becomes spiritual. You know, and the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit work through us. And by humbling ourselves and walking in the Spirit, you know, it's a daily walk. And we come through a lot of crossroads in our lives that affect us, you know. And because life happens. Life does happen, you know. And it's through that we do grow, by weakening our flesh, putting on the mind of Christ, you know, because they killed Jesus' flesh and he still lives forever. You know, they nailed it to the cross, but he still lives, you know, and that's what our spirit has to grow, mm-hmm. you know, and our flesh has to be weak in order for our spirit to grow. And I just wanted to share that with you guys.
That's good. I like that. Asking questions, asking for help. A lot of times in the world, that's like, oh boy, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. He should know that by now. And so it does look like weakness and not as qualified. But I think being hungry and being willing to ask questions, being willing to say, I don't have it all figured out, you know, is a good thing. Jesse was talking to a friend of his, I think it was yesterday, and for almost 3 hours, and 2 hours, okay, long time. And one of the things that Jesse was communicating, that he had read through the Bible X number of times, and I've said this, and I really believe this, that he goes, like, basically, I've realized that as I've gone through the Bible, well, you go ahead and say it, Jesse, and I'll repeat it the way that you said it. Okay. Basically, what I'm saying and he is saying is that even though we've read it so many times, it's like the more that we read, the less that we truly understand. Because God keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And his kingdom becomes more and more and more full in our lives. And it's like our natural understanding gets dwarfed and dwarfed and dwarfed. So even though our spirit's growing, it seems like our natural understanding is becoming, doesn't work as well. I mean, when I first went to church and they told me you do this, this, and this, and this, and it's like, this is what you have to do. And now you can teach Sunday school, and now you can teach somebody else. And it's like, it was really easy. But as I started reading the word, I realized that, well, wait a minute, there's more to God than just that. I mean, he's ever increasing. And he's ever increasing in my life. And as we grow spiritually, I think in a way we become weaker in our own ability to even communicate what we know.
But stronger in the Spirit.
But stronger in the Spirit. So if you don't confound wise people with your sayings, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we need to remain in some ways what's the word I want to use? Innocent, and even some naiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, it does say that we're to be as, you know, as shrewd as serpents, you know, but gentle as, is it, and what?
Dove,
I think it was, yeah. But I don't think that necessarily means that we have to be worldly, serpently. I think when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we're very wise. We're very cunning because the Holy Spirit knows it all. He's the Spirit of truth. Mm-hmm. That's good, Moses. Thank you. Anyone else? Did I see a hand? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to... Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your principle, Lord, that when we are contrite and humble, Lord, that we are seated with you in a high and holy place. So, Lord, I ask that even as Junior was sharing, Lord, that there's any of us that are too high up on the ladder, that we're running the show, that as some have said before, that we're driving the car, Lord, we're in the driver's seat, Lord, that we could take another place on the rungs of the ladder, or we could move to at least the passenger seat, or even the back seat, Lord. Lord, that we would let you be the one that drives our lives, Lord, that drives our hearts, Lord, and that we would be able to when we receive pain in our lives, Lord, become better and not bitter. That we'd be able to let your work, your perfect work, and your perfection and strength be made in us when we're weak, Lord, when we're going through difficult times. Lord, we know that you are the prime example of laying it all down. So help us, Jesus, to follow in your footsteps. Help us, Lord, to be ones that can easily empty ourselves of ourselves and receive the fullness that only comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. One more time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Yeah, we bless you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Joe and Christine, come on up. And anyone who needs prayer, for I'm sure anything, doesn't have to be healing only, right? I mean, it can be like a...
More of the Lord.
More of the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll bless you guys.
And
have
we
a great
have some
day.
Goodies over here.
Oh, we have lots of goodies.
From
yes,
yesterday,
leftovers.
So help yourselves.
And maybe they want to take some home, too, if there's leftovers, yeah. Right?